Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Midland Reporter-Telegram, Thursday, May 14th, 2020. Coronavirus in Midland. MMH, multi-organ system disease, can occur. By Caitlin Randall. Some COVID-19 patients at Midland Memorial Hospital have had complications related to vascular inflammation, similar to the mystery illness reported in hotspots such as New York City, Chief Medical Officer Dr. Larry Wilson said Wednesday. National news outlets recently have reported on an illness that presents like Kawasaki disease affecting children in New York City and believed to be linked to the coronavirus. While no children have died from COVID-19 in Midland County, Wilson said some adults who were confirmed positive have died from myocarditis, which can be complications of Kawasaki disease. Over the course of the disease, most of the people that get really sick, it becomes a multi-organ system disease, Wilson said. He said the respiratory illness most associated with COVID-19 is caused by inflammation in the lungs, but the virus can also cause inflammation in the heart, leading to cardiac arrest and inflammation in the gastrointestinal tract. It's a nasty virus, and it can be very dangerous, particularly in vulnerable populations and in the elderly, Wilson said. He also encouraged residents who do not have symptoms of the coronavirus but do have symptoms of a heart attack or stroke to come to the hospital for treatment. He also encouraged residents who do not have symptoms of the coronavirus but do have symptoms of a heart attack or stroke to come to the hospital for treatment. Three patients in the emergency room presented with heart attacks in one evening recently, he said, leading the cardiologist on duty to speculate if people are waiting to seek treatment because of concerns over the coronavirus. These are not things to be ignored and wait until the COVID disease is no longer in our community, Wilson said. We need to be moving forward and taking care of ourselves, taking care of this disease as well as we can. So please come to the hospital or call 68 nurse if you have concerning symptoms. Coronavirus. Peyton. City ready to go with 50% occupancy. By Caitlin Randall. Midland Mayor Patrick Peyton said Wednesday the city would be ready to go with expanding the allowed capacity in businesses to 50% and that he supported moving ahead to phase two of Governor Greg Abbott's reopening plan. During a unified command team meeting, Peyton said he was not concerned about businesses increasing their occupancies because the number of confirmed positive has flatlined aside from the outbreak at Midland Medical Lodge. Of the 11 new cases this week, 6 are related to Midland Medical Lodge. 2 are community acquired, and 3 are from travel within the United States. Peyton said it's necessary for Midlanders to get back to work, but residents should also do their part to protect others. It's important for us to remember we're getting back to a new and heightened human responsibility, probably more than any other time, he said. We've all been reminded of how important it is to wash our hands and to pay attention to where we are and what we're doing to people around us, or what they might be doing to us. It's not a new day to fear. It is a new day of just paying attention once again to human responsibility. Personal responsibility has been something Peyton has emphasized over the last few weeks, particularly in regard to businesses. He previously said Midland police would not be checking if restaurants and other businesses were following the 25% capacity rule. Peyton said Wednesday the city has received reports from concerned residents, but there are some businesses operating above 25% occupancy. But the city has not issued any citations. He said the best thing for residents to do if they see a business above capacity is to tell that business their concerns. That's really the most effective citation we have, is that if customers continue to think that their safety is in danger, that they may take their business to other places, he said. Abbott has said he intends to move forward with phase two of this reopening plan and increase allowed capacity to 50% on Monday for restaurants, stores, and gyms. Peyton also said Wednesday he would be rescinding his disaster declaration because Abbott's orders negated that declaration. Reopenings. Gyms, fitness studios install safety measures by J.C. Lewis. Many local gyms have been making preparation to reopen on Monday in accordance with Governor Greg Abbott's orders. Define Body and Mind Gym has been leading online instruction. Owner Megan Hogenberg said the staff has been ready to welcome back clients since the 1st of May. "We plan to open on the 18th, she said. With the 25%, our classes will be smaller and we are going to social distance 6 feet apart. In this room where we do bar and yoga classes, the mats will be 6 feet apart and our spin bikes will be 6 feet apart." She said it's important to exercise during this time to keep the mind busy, and so a lot of classes were moved online. Manager Paige Halfin said because Define is a franchise, they are fortunate to have a support group. "They were able to come up with the technology to be able to do that, which was very helpful because a lot of smaller boutique fitness studios don't have the technology of the capacity to be able to do that," Halfin said. Hohenberg said they have been offering 8 to 10 classes a day. She said live stream classes will continue to be offered even after the studio is reopened. "We'll continue offering the live stream classes even after we open for those who aren't necessarily comfortable," she said. "Not everybody's going to be ready day one, and that's okay. The staff prides themselves on being a clean space where clients know everything has been sanitized," Halfin said. She said their gym functions differently than a big box gym where people are waiting on others to finish our equipment. "We only offer classes, so if I rode a bike and Megan is signed up for the next class, that bike will have been cleaned before and after my ride. Then it will be cleaned before and after Megan's ride," Halfin said. "Those are the only types of things we share. I feel like that is a plus for us as opposed to something like a big box gym where it's community equipment." Hohenberg said they will require people to sign up before a class to reduce walk-ins and to make sure they have a spot for everyone. They also will be checking people's temperatures upon arrival. The gym also has no contact registration and point of sales before the pandemic. The front desk also will be wearing masks. Before they closed down, they were on an auto shipment with a company for antibacterial wipes. They just kept coming in and were like, "What in the world are we going to do with all these wipes?" This was in January. Halfin said, "Now we're thinking that it's awesome. This happened for a reason." Cycle Bar owner Leslie Gibbs said they have installed 2 induct air purifiers in the lobby and studio. The purifier creates hydroperoxide, a proven disinfectant that is actively distributed throughout the studio to clean the air, according to a press release. It kills up to 99% of viruses and bacteria, sanitizes every surface that touches the air, and reduces sneeze germs by 99% in the time an uncovered sneeze can reach 3 feet. The Cycle Bar is all about the experience when you come here and everything. So now we've kind of just basically been preparing to shift our experience to everything being clean and as safe as possible, Gibbs said. The gym has hired a company for deep cleaning surfaces and will be offering masks that can be worn before and after workouts. The front desk staff has started training and cleaning to get ready for the new normal, Gibbs said. They also will be installing hand sanitation stations throughout the gym and do temperature checks when clients arrive. "We've also made sure the studio meets guidelines with bikes being 6 feet apart," she said. She has been shifting to other operations such as not providing towels or water. Bikes will be cleaned before and after use every time. Midland's Planet Fitness hasn't announced when they will be reopening. McCall Coslin, Planet Fitness Senior Vice President of Communications, said they are working with local franchises during this time. "The safety of our team members and community is our top priority, and we are working closely with our local franchises to determine a reopening date with that in mind," she said in an email. "We look forward to welcoming our members back soon." Hohenberg and Halfin said they are hoping it will be like a New Year's resolution rush for people wanting to work out when they open back up. "We have very loyal clients," Hohenberg said. "They have been so supportive through this, and we did what we could by offering online classes to appease them." Halfin said the studio is a great place for clients to feel safe, comfortable, and come be with other people. "Even if you can't hug or shake hands," she said, "we want to be that space where people can just come and feel loved and feel like they're in community." Cher holds parade. Cher hosted a parade Monday at the parking lot of Crossroads Church in Odessa. Cher staff and friends lined up to greet Cher families. The nonprofit, which offers respite and services for families of special needs children, has temporarily moved to an online meeting platform because of coronavirus. Expenditures, reserves, teacher pay on rise at MISD. Trustees look at initial budget plans for the school district. By Stuart Doran. Midland ISD Board of Trustees on Wednesday received a first look at the 2020-21 budget that, in its current form, calls for revenues north of $400 million, expenditures of between $395 million and $409 million, and a healthy fund balance estimated at $158 million. The budget workshop gives trustees an opportunity to look at the basics of the superintendent's initial plans for spending during the upcoming school year. It also allows the trustees to become more familiar with the amount of revenue taxes will raise, recapture amounts, student membership projections, and priorities of the superintendent and board. Wednesday's workshop was the first for the board this calendar year. There will be another before June 22nd when the board will decide on the district's 2020-21 compensation plan, its 2020-21 budget, and its 2019-20 budget amendment. Adoption of the tax rate for the 2020-21 fiscal year is set for August 17th. Highlights of the first budget workshop included a preliminary property value report of $34.451 billion for the 2020-21 school year. That figure is down from $35.81 billion during the current year, but still more than $9 billion ahead of 2018-19. A tax rate drop from $1.05 per 100 valuations to $1.0364. A recaptured payment of either $122.1 million to $135.9 million, depending on the budget scenario trustees select. This fiscal year's recapture payment is $133.377 million. Over an 8-year period, Midland ISD will have sent $498.887 million back to the state to be distributed to so-called poverty poor schools. The payments are part of the Robin Hood school finance system. A decline in the average daily attendance from 24,232 to 23,990. That figure is a 1% decrease. Average daily attendance is not the same as the student membership, which MISD projects at 26,169 or 25,907 in its two budget scenarios. During the workshop, Chief Financial Officer said Daryl Dodds said the project fund balance represents 4.5 months of funding for the district. He also said it isn't until the 5 or 6 month mark that fund balance curve should start flattening out. 4 years ago, the district had just $41.9 million in reserves and had difficulty funding even 3 months of operation. The two budget scenarios shown to the board were relatively similar. The first budget called for $424.6 million in revenues, up from $408.5 million this year, $409 million in expenditures, up from $351.5 million this year, and allows the district to move more than $15 million into reserves. The amount spent on salaries and benefits increases from $167.6 million to $199.1 million. The recapture payment is the second largest expenditure, $135.9 million. The second budget scenario, which calls for a lower student membership, calls for $408.1 million, down from $408.5 million this year. $395.7 million in expenditures, up from $351.5 million, and allows the district to move $12.3 million into reserves. The amount spent on salaries and benefits increases from $167.6 million to $199.1 million. The recapture payment is the second largest expenditure, $122.1 million. City confirms three new cases of coronavirus from staff reports. The number of confirmed coronavirus cases in Midland County was up to 115 Wednesday afternoon, and with the City of Midland Health Department conducting its investigation on three new confirmed cases. The 113th confirmed case is a female in her 30s who was tested by the state. She is an employee at Midland Medical Lodge, and her last day at work was Monday. She is self-isolating at home. The source of exposure is contact to known case. The 114th confirmed case is a female in her 90s who was tested at Midland Medical Lodge. She is a resident at the lodge and is isolating there. The source of exposure is contact to known case. The 115th confirmed case is a female in her 40s who was tested at the medical lodge. She is an employee at the medical lodge. Her last day at work was Wednesday. She is self-isolating at home. The source of exposure is contact to known case. Ector County confirms two more cases by J.C. Lewis. Ector County confirmed two positive cases of coronavirus on Wednesday, making the total 102. There are three probable cases at this time. ECHD reported that 74 people have recovered. There have been 1,701 tests taken, with 1,471 negative results and 128 pending results. ECHD has contacted 1,301 people during contact tracing. The drive-thru at the Ector County Coliseum positive cases remain at 9 confirmed. Of the 112 tests done, 112 are negative and 35 are pending. In Ector County, 262 people have called the triage center for testing. County Commissioner Eddie Shelton said Ector County residents can get tested again for free 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Sunday. To register, go to https://texcovidtest.org. Medical Center Health System President and CEO Russell Tippin said MCH has tested 896 with 57 positive cases. MCH has gone 8 days without treating any coronavirus patients or patients under investigation for coronavirus. They have received 812 negative tests, 25 are pending. Odessa Regional Medical Center President and CEO Stacy Brown said ORMC has tested 344 with 15 positives. Brown said they had received 327 negative tests with 2 pending tests. ORMC not treating any coronavirus patients at this time. Ector County by the numbers. Confirmed cases 102. Days since first case was confirmed 47. By gender, male 40, female 62. Age groups 0 to 19, there were 8. 20 to 29, there were 19. 30 to 39, 20. 40 to 49, there were 19. 50 to 59, there were 30. 60 to 69, there are 14. 70 to 79, there are 2. Sources of exposure, travel related, is 7. Person to person, 71. Community spread, 6. Unknown, 18. Obituaries. Jesus, Jesse, Manuel, Leon. On Tuesday, May 12, 2020, Jesus, Jesse, Manuel, Leon, loving husband, father, and grandfather, passed away at the age of 72 in Midland, Texas, surrounded by his family. Jesse was born on November 24, 1947, in Artesia, New Mexico, to Navidad and Adelaide Leon. Jesus is preceded in death by his parents, Navidad and Adele Leon, his brothers, Joaquin, Felipe, and Carlos Leon, and his sister, Valentina Hernandez. He is survived by his wife, Rihanna, his 9 children, Juana, Linda, Jose, Luis, Rihanna, Adela, Jesus Jr., Navidad, and David, and their spouses. Brothers Guillermo and Juan Jose, and sisters Socorro, Paula, Juanita, Margarita, Ufima, and Mary. Jesus is also survived by the many blessings he called grandkids and great-kids. We lost count. A private viewing for immediate family only will be held on Friday, May 15, 2020, from 10 a.m. till 11 a.m. Regular visitation will begin at 11 a.m. till 7 p.m. Rosary will be from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. A burial service will be held on Saturday, May 16, 2020, at 11 a.m. All services will take place under the direction of American Heritage Ceremony and Funeral Home at 4100 North FM 1788 in Midland, Texas. A balloon release will follow the burial. Flowers and donations can be made to the American Heritage Funeral Home. Mildred Roscoe Reinhardt. Mildred Roscoe Reinhardt died peacefully in her sleep in Midland, Texas on May 10, 2020, after a long struggle with dementia and other chronic illnesses. Mildred was born on June 6, 1932, in Colorado City, Texas, the eldest city child of Joseph Calvin Cap Roscoe and Lottie Cleo Stewart Roscoe. Mildred graduated from Midland High School in 1951. She has two sisters, Pauline Marie Roscoe Fox, who resides in Midland, Texas, with her husband David Fox, and Naomi Jo Roscoe Munsell, who passed away in 2018. Both of Mildred's parents are deceased. Mildred had two children, James Milton Jimmy Reinhardt, who died in 1986, and Sandra K. Reinhardt Johnson, who resides in Martin County, Texas, with her husband, Jeff Johnson. In addition to her sister, Pauline, and her daughter, Sandra, Mildred was survived by three grandchildren and five great-grandchildren. A funeral service will be held Friday, May 15th, 2020, at 10 a.m. at Ellis Funeral Home, and she will be interred at Fairview Cemetery. Wanda Jean Wessels Howell. Wanda Jean Wessels Howell of Midland passed away on Monday, May 11th, 2020, in Lubbock, Texas. Wanda was born in Runnels County, Texas, in a little house in the country, on January 3, 1936. She married William Bill Jewell Howe on Saturday, June 28, 1958, in Winters, Texas, at St. John's Lutheran Church. Wanda and Bill were charter members of Hope Lutheran Church for several years in Midland, and later joined Midland Lutheran Church. Wanda loved camping, playing board games, card games, and dominoes. Wanda is preceded in death by her husband, William Bill Jewell Howell, who passed away on Friday, March 20th, 2009, in Midland, Texas. She is survived by her daughter, Carla Royal, and husband Michael of Midland, sons William J. Howell and Douglas Howell, both of Midland, four grandchildren, and four great-grandchildren. In lieu of flowers, the family requests that any memorials made on Wanda's behalf be made to Midland Lutheran Church, 22705 West Michigan Avenue, Midland, Texas, 79701, or to a charity of your choice. Death notices. Alexander Don Hamilton. Alex Blaine Hamilton was born May 8, 2020, and passed away May 8, 2020. Graveside service will be held at 2 p.m. Thursday, May 14th, 2020, at Sunset Memorial Gardens with Reverend Bob Hennigan officiating. Arrangements are by Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home of Odessa. Karina Y. Rodriguez. Karina Rye Rodriguez, born in Odessa on July 2, 1958, passed on May 6, 2020, in Midland at Focus Care Nursing Home. Service will be held at 10 a.m. Saturday, May 16, 2020, at Ellis Funeral Home with Reverend Mike Bartlett officiating. John G. the Mopar Man. John G. the Mopar Man Haney, born in Big Spring, Texas, on June 2, 1968, passed on May 12, 2020, in Midland, Texas. Service will be Saturday, May 16, 2020, at 3 p.m. at Rest Haven North Chapel.
Hello. This is Kay reading the Odessa American for Thursday, May 14th, 2020, front page. Show of support. CAF offers Salute from the Sky by Michael Bauer, MBAUER at OAOA.com. It was a show of support from above that drew West Texans outside to look to the skies as historic planes honored those working the COVID-19 front lines. Wednesday morning, hospital employees, first responders, and the rest of Odessa and Midland were greeted by a flyover of warplanes. The commemorative Air Force High Sky Wing flew in a formation of historic warbirds over the cities of Odessa and Midland as part of a salute to the spirit of West Texas. The event was held in honor of people who have been working on the front lines, battling the COVID-19 crisis. The commemorative Air Force High Sky Wing flew over Odessa Wednesday morning to show support for the fight against COVID-19 in West Texas. The six warbirds, consisting of five T-6s and a Cessna 310, flew around both Midland and Odessa hospitals before heading back to the airstrip. For employees watching from Medical Center Hospital, the site was a great show of support. "I was just in awe of everything," Marisol Carapia, an MCH compliance coordinator, said. "It's something that we don't normally see in the area. It's a great tribute to the healthcare workers. It's great support for this industry. It's appreciated." The Warbird formation consisted of 10 aircraft that launched from Midland International Air and Spaceport and flew over the cities of Odessa and Midland. The flight lasted about an hour as the public looked up to see the planes. "We're all in this together," MCH Compliance Coordinator Marcia Dummer said. "It just means that we're all going to get through this. It's great seeing the planes come out and support all the first responders and healthcare workers." Carapia is not the only hospital employee who's experienced the troubles in the healthcare industry during the past 2 months from COVID-19. "A hospital is either where a happy event or a sad event is going on," Carapia said. "Just having this pandemic happening, it makes you appreciate life and everything, because by the time this is over, and when this is over, everyone will be impacted in some shape or form. Working or knowing someone that's been affected by it makes you appreciate day-to-day life and not taking everything for granted." Dummer said that it has felt very different around the Medical Center Hospital for the last couple of weeks. "It's been totally different," Dummer said. "We're in a different environment because nobody is coming to the hospital right now, but we're still doing our job. It's been very quiet, other than the people inside." Follow Michael Bauer on Twitter at hashtag OAMICHAELBA. Photos. From left, commemorative Air Force pilots Donnie Hefner, Joe Gamertsfelder, and Parker Rathbun listened to their debriefing after participating in the flight. The flyover took place shortly after 9 a.m. in the skies above Midland and Odessa, making sure to pass over each hospital in the two cities. Eli Hartman, Odessa American. Flying high above Prosperity Bank in downtown Odessa, six planes from the commemorative Air Force High Sky Wing fly a formation of six warbirds in show of support for those in West Texas battling COVID-19. The planes flew around Midland before flying west to Odessa to fly over the two hospitals Wednesday morning. All five of the North American T-6 Texan planes, followed by a Cessna 310, fly in formation above Midland as part of a salute to the spirit of West Texas flyover on Wednesday morning. Hospital employees Marisol Carapia and Marcia Dummer watch as the planes fly over the city of Odessa Wednesday at MCH. Ben Powell, Odessa American. National Guard Doing More Tests by Michael Merlo, MERLO at OAOA.com. The National Guard will provide another day of a free drive-through COVID-19 testing from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Sunday at Barn C at the Ector County Coliseum. Those interested in getting a test can register by calling 512-883-2400 or online at tinyurl.com/YA-7WODY9. Ector County stats show that 73% of patients positive with COVID-19 have recovered. There are currently 24 active positive cases in Ector County per Wednesday's virtual news conference. Out of 1,701 total tests, the Ector County Health Department reported 102 positives, 1,471 negatives, 128 pending, and 74 recovered. 4 Ector County residents have died from the virus. There have been 262 total calls made to the county's drive-through testing, and out of 112 tests, 9 have been positive, 78 have been negative, and 25 tests are pending. Medical Center Hospital President and CEO Russell Tippin said that out of 893 tests, 56 have been positive, 812 have been negative, and 25 are pending results. MCH has no positives in the hospital and hasn't had a positive case in 8 days, Tippin said. Dr. Timothy Benton said that MCH was chosen to receive remdesivir, a potential post-infection treatment for coronavirus. He said that he wasn't sure how much they would get and said that they are expecting a shipment by the end of the week. Odessa Regional Medical Center President Stacy Brown said that out of 344 tests, 15 have been positive, 327 have been negative, and 2 tests are pending. She said that there are no COVID-19 patients in the hospital. ORMC Chief Medical Officer Dr. Rohit Sarvanan said that he wanted to reinforce that people who are watching COVID-19 conspiracy videos should watch them with a critical eye, and that those in the medical field with conspiracy views of the virus are the vast minority. The majority of the scientific community, he said, is backing evidence that has been found through research. Tippin said that last week, MCH got a call from the state asking MCH to test all of the residents and employees at Midland Medical Lodge Nursing Home. He said that the state had first reached out to Midland Memorial Hospital, who had deferred that responsibility to MCH. The state asked for 10 MCH nurses to deploy into Midland Medical Lodge. Tippin said that deploying Ector County staff to Midland County wasn't in Ector County's best interest. He said that MCH has a contract with the owner of Midland Medical Lodge only to test blood and for lab work, and that it's not their responsibility to draw blood or swab for results. Tippin said he told the state that we just don't feel like we need to deploy Ector County assets into Midland County to test Midland County folks, and that needs to be conducted in Midland. Tippin said he referred that responsibility back to Midland Memorial Hospital in Midland, and that was the last he heard of it so far. Tippin said that he thought Midland Medical Lodge would need somewhere between 150 to 200 tests, and a test right now is anywhere from $70 to $100 each, and that's not including the manpower to send 10 people out there on a weekend after hours to get that done. It was kind of an awkward decision for us to have to make, but we just tried to do what we thought was best, he said. After Governor Greg Abbott's press releases regarding state assistance in the testing of nursing homes in Texas, Ector County Commissioner Eddie Shelton said that Texas Health and Human Services is going to work with a local entity to provide these tests, and they're working right now on when and how that's going to be done. MCH Chief Nursing Officer Kristen Timmons said that her and Sarvanen have spoken since the release and that they are putting together a list of the number of nursing homes and the number of residents they have and the number of staff members. In the event someone or something from the state doesn't pan out as quickly as what we hoped for as a city and county, so Medical Center and ORMC can move forward and provide that assistance if and when it's needed, she said. COVID-19 news by the numbers. Ector County confirmed cases 102. Ector County negative 1,471 out of 1,701 tested, with 128 pending. 4 deaths. Midland County, 115 confirmed out of 2,211 tested, 12 deaths. Texas, 42,403 confirmed, with 587,431 tested. Total Texas deaths, 1,158. U.S. cases, 1,364,061 total confirmed, and 82,246 deaths. Find out more at co.ector.tx.us or dshs.state.tx.us or the CDC site at tinyurl.com/TZTRJLF. Free trees. Through the Apache Tree Grant, Keep Odessa Beautiful is able to provide a free tree to local citizens. Trees will be given away from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. today and Friday at the Household Hazardous Waste Facility, 814 West 42nd Street. For more information, call Claudia Ortega or Alma Angeles at 335-4686. Don't miss it. A B-1 Lancer from the 337th Test and Evaluation Squadron, located at Dyess Air Force Base, will fly over hospitals in West Texas to salute American heroes, such as medical professionals, first responders, and other essential workers, Friday. The B-1 will fly over hospitals in Amarillo, Lubbock, Odessa, Midland, and Abilene from 11:20 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. Friday. Anyone living in and around the area of these hospitals should see and hear the B-1, but viewers are asked to keep CDC-recommended social distance and not gather in public groups to view the flyover. This flyover has been closely coordinated as a part of the U.S. Air Force's American Resolve salute to those at the forefront of the COVID-19 response and will be done in conjunction with a regularly scheduled test sortie for the 337th Test and Evaluation Squadron. Anyone who captures video or photos of the B-1 flying overhead is encouraged to post on social media using the hashtag Air Force Salutes and hashtag AF Flyover. Local times are approximate and subject to change based on weather conditions and air traffic control requirements. Odessa Regional, 12:04 p.m. Midland Memorial, 12:07 p.m. Updates to the flight routes and times will be posted to Dyess Air Force Base's Facebook page. The 337th Test and Evaluation Squadron manages, executes, and reports on operational test and evaluation and tactics development and evaluation for B1 hardware, software, and weapons upgrades to maximize combat capabilities prior to fielding two operational units. As part of the 53rd Wing, they support the wing's mission of providing tactical advantage to the warfighter at the speed of relevance. Overeaters Anonymous. Overeaters Anonymous, a 12-step support group, has scheduled Zoom meetings from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. Mondays and 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. Thursdays at oa.org. The meetings are free and open to the public. For more information, call 553-1031. Closing prices. Posted, $21.75. Futures, $25.29. Natural gas, $1.616. Benchmark U.S. fell 49 cents to $25.29 per barrel on the New York Mercantile Exchange. This is Kay, reading the Odessa American for Thursday, May 14th, 2020. Page 2, read. Deputies Give Back by Rebuilding Ramp for Local Resident by Tony Venegas, T-V-E-N-E-G-A-S at OAOA.com. What started off as an animal control call turned into an act of kindness for one West Odessa resident. Deputies from the Ector County Sheriff's Office helped rebuild a porch ramp for Dorothy Hunt at her home while also taking care of the three coach whip snakes that had been living under her porch for well over a week. James Grissom was one of the deputies who responded to the initial call last Saturday and said that getting the three snakes out proved to be a challenge. "We spent a couple of hours trying to get them out, and we used everything from pepper spray to rock bars to whatever, and we couldn't get to them," he said. While trying to find any way to get the snakes out, the deputies discovered another potential problem. The backyard ramp was in need of repair. Seeing that, and while dealing with the snakes, Lieutenant Brandon Blake approached Grissom about wanting to help Hunt to help solve any future snake problems and giving Hunt some extra comfort. Grissom said he had experience building decks and working in construction. "I pulled Grissom to the side after we were out here for an hour and said it would really be nice to come out here and put a porch together for her," Blake said. "It would be something that gives her peace of mind that snakes aren't going to be going back under there, and something that'll last forever." A group of deputies started to go to work on Monday after removing the sides where the snakes had been living. After scoping out the site, Grissom said that there was plenty of work that needed to be done. "We were able to do a lot as far as being able to use some of the framing that was there and getting that squared up again," he said. "We were able to add concrete, the stuff underneath the house that needed it, so we could square it up again and actually start the process this morning." The project took 2 full days to put together and was completed late Tuesday afternoon. As for the snakes, that issue finally came to a head Tuesday afternoon when the three coach whips were found underneath some bricks that had previously been taken out from underneath Hunt's home. Grissom and Blake had just returned to the home after running another errand, and the snakes were killed, and the portion of the house that they had been living in was sealed up. It was a kind gesture that Hunt appreciated, since she lives alone and does not have any other family that lives in the area. "It means a lot to me," she said. "I appreciate everyone for what they did. They wouldn't let me pay them, so I fixed them dinner today." Being able to put together this gesture also meant a lot to the group of deputies who helped out on their own time. "That's what I do this job for, is to make people happy and give back," Blake said. "I've had a lot of genuine people help me in the past, and I believe what you give, you will get back." Dorothy Hunt poses with deputies from the Ector County Sheriff's Office at her home Tuesday in West Odessa. The deputies built Hunt a new ramp after discovering snakes that were living underneath the home. Tony Venegas, Odessa American. MC Associate Degree Nursing Program celebrates graduates. OA Life at OAOA.com. Midland. The Midland College MC Associate Degree Nursing students were honored at a pinning ceremony on Wednesday. The ceremony was held virtually, and students and instructors attended from their homes, with the students participating in MC Scrubs on Zoom. Following the announcement of a student's name, their selected guest pinned the student. A candle lighting and a prayer followed the announcement. The Associate Degree Nursing Pinning Ceremony recognizes those students who have completed the rigorous Associate Degree Nursing Program, as well as those students who are vocational nurses and have completed MC's Vocational Nursing to Registered Nursing Transition Program. Both groups of students are now eligible to take the licensed registered nursing exam. The pinning ceremony is a tradition for nursing schools, marking the transition from nursing school to nursing practice. The nursing pin has a long and honorable history. The tradition of pinning began in 1860 when Florence Nightingale was awarded the Red Cross of St. George by Queen Victoria for her service in the Crimean War. Nightingale shared this honor with her nursing school students by giving each graduate a badge. By 1916, the pinning ceremony became an established tradition of nursing schools. The 2020 nursing graduates are Marco Benavides, Courtney Bryant, Rebecca Castillo, Sabrina Christley, Sarah DeLong, Kurt Damel, Valerie Garcia, Marissa Garza, Laramie Groom, Yasmin Hernandez, Kendra King, Shelby Lockett, Chad Madrid, Bailey McDonald, Alyssa Miner, Haley Murin, Ashley Nelson, Nema Orozco, Hulika Romero, Brittany Sutherland, Taylor Thuse, Brittany Torres, Tatiana Ulate, and Megan Willis Travis. Transition students are Patience Ayambar, Estefania Gonzalez, Leticia Gonzalez, Florencia Hernandez, Daisy Lopez, Montoya Mitchell, Casey Shock, Erica Soto, Christina Sutton, Emily Tarin, Mary Ellen Fodder, and Theresa Wilson.
We've been reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American. Please stay tuned for the weather, followed by the second hour's reading of the newspapers.